You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Ironman. I'm not doing this. I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. It is time to break down the 2022 NFL schedule. We'll do that in depth, we know, all throughout the offseason, going into the season. We're going to look at week by week and break things down that way. But at first glance, our first reactions, this is good for some people around the league. It's bad for other people around the league. And we already knew kind of the strength of schedule based on the combined winning percentage and records of the teams everyone was facing. But now you put it together in the flow of a 18-week schedule over 17 games. We know the fantasy football schedule is still floating right around there at 16 games there. So a lot of stuff to unpack here, but a lot of things didn't surprise us with the way things went down. Some teams we thought would have some favorable schedules for particular positions do. Those who are challenged still have those challenges here going into this real schedule and knowing who they're going to play when here in 2022. So we'll break that down for you here on today's show. We'll go quarterbacks favorable, quarterbacks unfavorable. Then we'll do that running backs, wide receiver, tight ends, all in this show with our reactions to the 2022 NFL schedule. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. We are free and available for you on all platforms. All right, let's dive right in. We got a lot to talk about here with the schedule. All right, now let me preface this by saying everything is not weighed on the schedule. We know teams and their identities change. These are our best estimates here of who has the favorable schedule right now. But we know that every team is trying to improve defensively. And quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, the defenses against these positions are a little bit different, right? If you struggle against the run, you're not necessarily going to be a bad pass defense and they're going to contain the quarterbacks, wide receivers, and tight ends. And if you are good at covering wide receivers with good corners, that doesn't mean you have the personnel at linebacker and safety to cover tight ends. So a lot of things to think about there. We know that when we're looking at the matchups in fantasy football. And the other thing is you don't want to go all in on this being a big factor. The number one factor in fantasy, we've talked about it over and over again, it is the talent of the player and that potential of that player to produce as an offensive skill weapon, whether he's throwing, catching, or running. And then the next thing is just the team support. What does he get with the offensive line, the weapons? If you're a quarterback, same thing with the running back. If you're a receiver, what support do you get from other receivers and the quarterback and tight end situation? So those are the bigger things we look at. This is a small part of the equation, but still something we should factor if we're making a decision between a couple different guys at different points in our draft. All right, that is said and done here. Let's start looking at the quarterbacks who have the easiest schedules here. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Again, having the division schedule starts out really nicely. He can pick apart a lot of teams here. This is good because he needs the schedule without Devontae Adams. Now, Aaron Rodgers right now, we talked about him being underrated. Well, this is another factor in that. Right now, he's looked at as a borderline QB1, a QB2. Really a drop-off from his back-to-back MVP seasons. We know a lot of that is tied to Adams and also losing Marquez Valdes-Scantling. But Rodgers tends to make up for it, as we talked about, with different players, and he's got an easy enough schedule again. Going to work itself on the six games in the NFC North are going to be pretty favorable, but outside the division, pretty good as well. And they have the first-place schedule, and they're going to deal with those type of games here as well, including the Bills and Buccaneers and some really good challenges there. But the Packers had a pretty hard schedule last year, and they went through it and won pretty well, and Rodgers put up the numbers. So it's pretty good. I think it's favorable in relation to what Green Bay faced in 2021, so that's really good. But the guy that you're really looking at spiking here is Dak Prescott. A pretty big comeback year from that ankle injury. He kind of settled into who his weapons were, and we'll get more into the weapons as well, having the favorable spots here. But the Cowboys, this NFC East in general, is where you'll find the easiest schedules overall, whether it's reality in terms of how good overall opponents are or just how bad their defenses are. It doesn't matter. The NFC East is where you'll find that. So I do like Aaron Rodgers quite a bit, but Dak Prescott gets a strong spike here into high QB1 territory. He's got the weapons. It's a pretty special offense that is coming together. I think Kellen Moore has kind of streamlined it to what they want to do. Have the right mix of run and downfield passing. And Dak is kind of in the zone here. So it all lines up very well with Dak. I think 2 years ago, you were looking at Dak having a monster season with a pretty favorable schedule before he went down. Came back pretty strong last year, but it's all lining up well. Now, that would also say that two deeper quarterbacks that you can look at as sleepers. Daniel Jones wasn't replaced with the Giants. He has decent weapons all around. When you look at the receivers and just having still the backfield and also the influence of Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka on the offensive staff now, Daboll is head coach, Kafka, the former Chiefs quarterbacks coach as the offensive coordinator. So pretty good brain trust when you have Josh Allen and Mahomes as guys here working for Daniel Jones. So I wouldn't completely fall flat on Daniel Jones here this season. He has some value. It just depends how the wide receiver shakes out. They need Kenny Galladay, Kadarius Toney to have bigger roles. Wandale Robinson, they also added in the draft. So really need some step-ups. Sterling Shepard to be better. Tight end, they're a little bit lost there with that Evan Engram and Kyle Rudolph. But again, there's some things there, Daniel Jones' running ability that you can look at as they stick with him as a starting quarterback. All right, Carson Wentz also has a lot of appeal. You also have a new receiver in there, Jahan Dotson, playing off Terry McLaurin. You hope to get Logan Thomas back there at tight end, which would be big. You already have a pretty depth of receivers here in Antonio Gibson and J.D. McKissick, and now power back in Brian Robinson. So you do have quite a bit there if you're the Commander. So if you're going to go Wentz or Jones, I think Wentz gets a little bit, his offensive line is a little bit better here overall. Jones is getting there with now Evan Neal and Andrew Thomas, that combination really helping. So, but Wentz maybe having the better interior line. Wentz also having the better track record of producing overall in fantasy. He was actually pretty decent with the Colts last year. So Jones, Wentz, it's pretty hard to decide between those two who has some good QB2 value with some upside later, but you definitely lean a little bit more towards Wentz, with McLaurin being a more established weapon and Gibson out of the backfield, a little bit more reliable at this point to stay healthy than Saquon Barkley. Trevor Lawrence is the other positive quarterback we're looking at. The Jaguars have a pretty favorable schedule. Again, they cross over into the NFC East, so that helps their numbers here. But Jaguars also the last place team there in the division, so they get that, and they also get to play in the AFC South overall in those six games. So Trevor Lawrence has some potential here with Doug Peterson. They try to upgrade the receiving core with Christian Kirk and Zay Jones. And they have a tight end that they feel good about in Evan Engram. So things could be pointing up here for Trevor Lawrence. I think it's pretty close. I do prefer Zach Wilson still. Wilson, you look at his schedule, I think it's a bit challenging, but you look at the weapons, they're a little bit more reliable with Corey Davis, Elijah Moore established, and now one Garrett Wilson as being a big third playmaker on that team. All right, let's go on the flip side of quarterbacks quickly here. Patrick Mahomes in this whole division is pretty tough, except for Justin Herbert. He gets some nice breaks on the schedule, but when you look at the combination of Mahomes and Derek Carr, it's pretty tough. I think Russell Wilson is somewhere in the middle. Some people like his schedule a lot. I think it's a little bit challenging in general. And again, Wilson does have a more favorable schedule than Mahomes and Carr. I don't think he's quite where Herbert's at in terms of being okay with the gauntlet that the AFC West teams are facing. But Mahomes, yeah, definitely a little bit of downgrade without Tyreek Hill. So this is another factor here that we consider. This is kind of the flip side with Rodgers, where Rodgers helped by the schedule minus his former top receiver. Mahomes, a little bit hurting here. I think the Chiefs can still grind out games. They might do it in a different way here with their running game and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So keep that in mind. And Derek Carr, we know he's got Adams in the mix and Hunter Renfro and Darren Waller. But really, again, some tough defense all around. And part of that is the Chargers defense in itself. And Herbert doesn't have to face that with J.C. Jackson and Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa. So that's why it's a little tougher for Mahomes and Carr and Wilson, because, again, they don't have to face a Chargers defense, and that's not good for them. But the flip side is Herbert and Wilson get to play the defenses of the Chiefs and Raiders, who have considerable holes at this moment. So that's why we're looking at it in that perspective. They also cross over with the NFC West, so some challenges that are happening there with Matthew Stafford and Kyler Murray and facing those teams as well. On the flip side of things, right now with the 49ers, it's a tough situation anyway with Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo, and with the Seahawks, we're not looking at Drew Lock at all, so we got to focus on Stafford and Murray in this division. So yeah, that's where the crossover fell here, so that these teams facing a lot of tough pass defenses in general. So Stafford, big year. He had the interceptions that knocked him down quite a bit, so be wary of him investing in him too high as a QB1. And Kyler Murray, again, we got to see a lot that's happening here. The DeAndre Hopkins suspension hurts. He does get Hollywood Brown Marquise in the mix, his former Oklahoma Sooners go-to receiver. But is he going to run enough? Is he going to get through this defensive gauntlet any better than some of these receivers? That's a question there that you're looking at as a running quarterback. But yeah, if you're looking, definitely Herbert and Wilson have more appeal. And then Trey Lance, if he starts in the NFC West, more appealing sleeper than investing high in Kyler Murray. Let's just put it that way. If you can get Trey Lance as an upside QB2 in the early teens, that's a much better play than reaching for Kyler Murray in the top eight at this stage. Now, Lamar Jackson's the other one. It's also not great for the teams in the AFC North with their schedules. They have to face a lot of the crossover as well with the AFC West. So when you're looking at the Ravens, they face a lot of tough cornerbacks and pass rushers, those type of teams. The Patriots, for example, are on the schedule. So Ravens are going to have to navigate through that. I think reality-wise, their schedule's not bad because they can win in different ways with the running game and defense. But in terms of the passing game, putting up numbers here with Jackson downfield, it's definitely a bit tricky, and we'll get more to that as well when we talk about tight end matchups for Baltimore. All right, there you have it. There's a look at the quarterback hardest schedules and the easiest schedules as well. We'll do that to easy tough with running back and go do the same thing with wide receiver and tight end before this final show of the week is over here on Locked On Fantasy Football. We know we have now NFL schedule numbers here. We know weeks 1 through 18, what teams are playing whom, when. Well, that's something to get into at Bet Online as we look at over-under win totals. That's a good thing to examine now as the biggest part of NFL futures. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. We're going to the conference finals in the NBA. We're headed to the second round in the NHL. So a lot of exciting action there with hoops and hockey. And it's also MLB time here to get into the summer. It's the boys of summer's time here as we transition from May to June. We also have the big fights in UFC and boxing. And again, we mentioned the NFL futures. It's a great place to go bet online. Bet Online is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use a mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. Bet Online, where the game starts. All right, we will dive into the running back easy and hard schedules here and pick out a few players that we think are boosted by the schedule and those that are hurt by the schedule. We'll also get in the wide receiver a little bit before we close with the tight ends here in our next segment. Thanks so much for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. We are free and available to you on all platforms. All right, one team I really like is the Indianapolis Colts. They can rebound here. Matt Ryan is the question mark there in the passing game. But their offensive line, I think they'll find a good starter ready to go in Bernard Raimann, the rookie from Central Michigan. I think he's going to start left tackle, so I think this is going to be good for the running game overall. But Colts have a pretty strong offensive line outside of that spot, so Jonathan Taylor is still looking pretty good. He can feast on the AFC South once again. Some good matchups here from the Colts finishing second versus getting in the playoffs as the division winners. The Titans have much tougher games overall crossing over. So Colts are in great position here with Jonathan Taylor. If you needed any more confirmation that he's the number one overall fantasy pick here, doesn't matter what you're playing, full point, half point, to standard leagues, Jonathan Taylor's your guy and looking pretty good. Now, we would love to be gushing over the fantasy value of Javonte Williams, and we wish Melvin Gordon was not there to do so, but let's keep in mind it's a different style of offense here. Nathaniel Hackett comes in. Now, the only question about Hackett, is he going to turn this into a situation we saw with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon with these two guys? Let's hope not. Javonte Williams is ready for a breakout. He's a special back. He is like Aaron Jones, the fact that he can dominate all phases. He's an explosive back. He can catch the ball in the backfield. The Broncos have it easier. Again, they're about middle of the road with Russell Wilson, but their running backs are in good shape, mainly because the Raiders, Chargers, and Chiefs are not good against the run. I think the Chargers could actually be a bit better, but you get those six games right away here for Javonte Williams. The Broncos are, I think, the best overall run defense in that division, so they don't have to face themselves, which is always helpful. And you cross over and get some really good matchups here as well. So Javonte Williams, he needs to separate a little bit with the volume from Melvin Gordon, but in terms of schedule, that's lining up nicely here for him in year two. The Cowboys, it's all good all around for the Cowboys. Ezekiel Elliott, we liked him a lot as being an underrated running back here. The offensive line getting a little restored here in the draft. But I think the Cowboys will dedicate more to the 12 personnel, help Elliott that way, and help the downfield passing game as well. So Elliott is looking pretty good here with the schedule. And the Cowboys overall, just really pick a Cowboy, any Cowboy, they're going to have a pretty decent offensive skill season here in 2022. All right, let's go to David Montgomery of the Bears. Yeah, the Bears, they don't have a lot to hang their hat on here with their offense. They're in transition with the Packers style of offense here with Justin Fields, the second offensive coordinator and system in as many years. Darnell Mooney is their best receiver. Mooney, it's pretty decent as well. So Mooney and Montgomery are going to see a lot of value. DM, they're going to slide into DMs and be very active here. When you have Byron Pringle as your best option and not much else there in the passing game, and you're still trying to figure out how to use Cole Kmet at tight end, David Montgomery is going to see nice volume as a rusher and a receiver here. So in terms of just running downhill and producing, Montgomery is in a good spot. The Dolphins, we talked how much we like Chase Edmonds as a sleeper. He was ranked outside the RB2s. There, I think he falls into that category. Now, some people look at Sonny Michel and that late addition here in free agency is cutting in a lot to Edmonds. I think Michel can be a little bit like James Conner, but it's not going to be the repeat here. They spent a lot of money early in free agency on Chase Edmonds. They liked that type of player. Keep in mind, they have Tyreek Hill. They got Jalen Waddle. They want backs that they can use in the passing game, get the ball out quickly in space, help Tua Tagovailoa with his arm question marks right now until he gets up to full strength. So Edmonds, again, is the guy, and Michelle, they're both in really good positions here to run the ball well. The Patriots could have a little bit of softness in run defense. The Jets are going to be a little bit better. The Bills are still much better in the pass defense as well. So in the division is okay, but Dolphins committee here, leaning more Edmonds than Michelle, had pretty favorable matchups here in Fantasy Football 2022. On the tough side of things, we didn't think Joe Mixon was a bit underrated with his value just because he's going to get good volume and produce in a high offense, but the Bengals are going to have to navigate a pretty tough schedule, including all their teams and foes in the AFC North here. So something to be wary. I don't think it downgrades Mixon all that much because, again, volume is going to make up for it. Very good offense playing off some things. So that's why I said don't put all your eggs into the schedule in determining how you're going to go player A over player B. You got to consider the situation, the talent first and foremost, and see how things play out. Now, Cam Akers, the talent is there, but the durability has been a question mark, so that you have that. You have Daryl Henderson. Now you have an extra draft pick here that we didn't see the Rams making, and Kyron Williams out of Notre Dame. Now you have a tough schedule where the Rams are facing, again, their own division, crossing over into a lot of tough spots here. So I'd be wary of Cam Akers. With everything involved with Cam Akers, they just have to be careful. I do like the idea of Cam Akers, but the execution of Cam Akers when you have Henderson and other factors, and now the schedule, something you want to be wary of. Now the Buccaneers and the entire NFC South face a lot of tough run defenses in general here. I don't think it affects Christian McCaffrey or Alvin Kamara as much, but it definitely affects Fournette. He's got some crowd in that backfield. The Buccaneers, a pretty nice gauntlet all over, starting with the Cowboys. They have the Chiefs. Chiefs actually is one of the more favorable matchups for the running game, but overall, it's loaded with contenders on the list here for Tampa, and Tampa will just pivot. And what happens when it's a tough run defense matchup? It doesn't matter if Tom Brady's in New England or Tampa Bay. He's going to chuck. So that's not helping Fournette there in the running game. But again, the checkdowns and things that he does, it still makes him a worthy RB2 at worst. I think he still falls in the RB1 category with the volume in relation to the rest of the Bucs' backs. I don't love the Falcons here, and Cordarrelle Patterson is the guy right now, but that could definitely change with the way they're looking at the backfield. They have Ty Allgeier here coming in, so could be a committee approach that develops here with Allgeier being a more traditional power back and Patterson being the wide receiver hybrid. So I just don't want to buy into Cordarrelle Patterson, and this gives me another reason to avoid that. I also would like to avoid the Eagles' backfield as much as possible. Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, Kenneth Gainwell. This looks messy again, as it was last year. It was just hard to predict from week to week. Then you had the injury attrition that hit. Well, the schedule tells it's a bit tougher. So, again, I mentioned how easy the schedule is overall for the NFC East teams, but the Eagles have it harder than the rest, and just the way things break out, and the running game matchups are not favorable in the three different games that the Eagles have. So, again, Miles Sanders and that whole situation, maybe something to avoid here. The Falcons and Eagles will probably fall on that list of backfields I really don't want to invest in too much in 2022 when we get down to breaking that down in full. All right, let's turn to wide receiver. We'll give you the easy matchups here overall when you look at the schedule through 18 weeks. We'll probably be playing 16 games in fantasy. We know that over that time. CeeDee Lamb. So again, we said Cowboys, Cowboys, Cowboys. Well, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper's out of the situation. Michael Gallup, you can throw him in here with CeeDee Lamb, getting the big plays downfield. So bump up CeeDee Lamb, bump up Michael Gallup. Very favorable schedule. Prescott locked in. Kellen Moore, another year with this offense. So love everything about this, and the schedule is just gravy here for Dallas. The next guy that we look at, this is a little bit easier for the Eagles passing in. The running game might hit a few walls here, but A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith should benefit pretty nicely here as well, playing off some favorable cornerback spots and teams with the shaky or limited pass rushes here. So the Cowboys receivers, we know we're going to target Lamb as a wide receiver one, A.J. Brown more as a borderline wide receiver one, and then Michael Gallup and Devonta Smith have respective really good wide receiver three values. That same thing plays into Terry McLaurin, who should fall into a nice wide receiver two category, helped by Jahan Dotson, the rookie out of Penn State, who can stretch the field, and the presence of Carson Wentz, a little bit more stability at quarterback. No offense to Taylor Heineke there, but a quarterback that's going to get into go-to guys' hands quite a bit. So Terry McLaurin in also good shape. And guess what? The Giants. Let's bring in the Giants to him, shall we? Kenny Galladay. Do we trust Kenny Galladay? It's a big question. Do we trust Kadarius Toney? But one of these receivers is in a good position to break out here and really get value out of a very underwhelming kind of buzz about them, so keep that in mind. But you definitely have to start with the Cowboys and Eagles, and then you get into the Commanders and Giants. Let's look at then the player outside the division I like, DJ Moore. I think this is going to be a big year for DJ Moore if Sam Darnold can stay healthy. Robbie Anderson is whatever he is doing right now. And this team's going to throw quite a bit. They have a lot of issues. They're not very good. The running game, they'll see if Christian McCaffrey can hold up. But DJ Moore, good favorable matchup, facing corners of good breaks here. And the Falcons have A.J. Terrell. The Bucs have Carlton Davis. So there's some guys inside the division. But getting outside of those two guys and Marshawn Lattimore of the Saints, some pretty good outside of division matchups for the Panthers' number one wide receiver, DJ Moore. And then the Jaguars. If you're going to put in Lawrence in here, this is why we like them. So Christian Kirk has a chance here to be a sleeper there. We just have to see how it plays out a little bit with Marvin Jones' role versus Christian Kirk versus Zay Jones versus what they do with Laviska Shenault Jr. So a lot of things that are play for the Jaguars, but there are some opportunities there to be had with Lawrence's wide receivers. All right, we will get into our final three takes here. We'll be looking at the harder schedules for wide receivers, and then we'll go tight end and look at the easy side for tight end and the difficult side for tight end. So still plenty to talk about as we expand a little bit here to close the week here on Locked On Fantasy Football. It is almost summer, and we're getting excited about that because we can take Built Bars on the go with us. Imagine dipping your finger into that plastic tub of birthday cake frosting and then opening your eyes and realizing that was only 150 calories and one great source of protein, 16 grams. This is what it's like to eat a birthday cake puff from Built. I just received my birthday cake puffs and I've never had anything like this before. It's a good time. I just had my birthday in March, but I'm going to enjoy getting a second birthday here with the Built Bar Puffs. And they're available right now. We can't promise they will be there tomorrow, so get them up right now at Built.com. That's how good they are. If you haven't tried the Puffs, I'll let you on a little secret, because that's what friends do. A chocolate-covered marshmallow protein bar. Yep, you heard me. Delicious flavored marshmallow covered in 100% chocolate. Make every day your birthday with the Built's Birthday Cake Puffs. Built has taken the delicious experience of biting into a fresh slice of birthday cake enrobed in 100% white chocolate and with added sprinkles with 150 calories, 16 grams protein. That's an amazing amount of protein in one bar. Only 9 grams sugar. This limited time flavor is an amazing option if you're looking for a healthy way to get flavor and variety in your day. All Built Puffs are covered in 1% real chocolate. That means with Built, you can eat healthy and actually enjoy doing it. And they are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more effectively and provides a lot of health benefits. Go to Built.com to get birthday cake puffs right now. That's the birthday cake puffs. Get them while they're here because they're probably going to be gone pretty soon. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCK15. Get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, it's time to close the show looking at the other side of wide receivers and both sides of the tight ends based on how easy or hard the 2022 NFL schedule is looking like for them from a fantasy football perspective. At wide receiver, let's start with the teams from the AFC North. Now, again, some very good corners crossing over that same division, so that's something to keep in mind. Jamar Chase is Jamar Chase. He can fight through it as an elite receiver. T. Higgins has already established himself well, so you're not going to downgrade those guys much. But the Steelers, there are some factors there. Mitchell Trubisky versus Kenny Pickett. What do you get at wide receiver for these receivers, Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool? Again, there's some things you're worried about. Johnson and Claypool are still very talented. You can push the ball downfield. So something to just keep in mind if you're looking at similar players and those situations to say the Steelers have it pretty tough here with the cornerback coverage and who they're facing here with their pass defenses overall. We also look at the Baltimore Ravens. So this is pretty much the only effects for Rashad Bateman. We like Bateman anyway because he can score quite a bit. But again, we like him more as a wide receiver 3. We're not going to invest too heavily on him. We can even look at him as a wide receiver 4 with upside. But some of the Ravens pass game and Lamar. And Lamar's value, not always dependent on the passing game. He can provide to the rushing game, but these receivers are dependent on that a little bit more. So Bateman in a tough role as the number one right away. Now, the Patriots went out and got Devontae Parker. Are we interested in him or Jacoby Myers or what Nelson Agholor can do? Probably not. This probably takes us off of this as well. The Jets have upgraded corner. The Bills are very tough at corner. We know that. With Tre'Davious White coming back, you have the Dolphins still have those two veterans there, Xavien Howard and Byron Jones. So that right away puts a damper on the Patriots there. So, and also the value of those receivers, not very good overall. The Jets have good receivers. When you look at Corey Davis, Elijah Moore, and the rookie Garrett Wilson, they're going to face the same type of cornerback matchups. The Patriots are always tough, even without J.C. Jackson and Stephon Gilmore. They'll find a way to cover a little bit better. Bills, Dolphins, we mentioned those same two teams. So same type of things you see, but going and playing some teams outside the division, it's also tough for the Patriots and Jets. Wideouts. The Chiefs, without Tyreek Hill, they're trying to find somebody to step up between Juju Smith-Schuster and Mecole Hardman and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. So that's going to be the challenge here. Do they fight through the schedule a little bit? Again, the Chargers have that guy, J.C. Jackson. The Raiders are a bit in a transition there without Casey Hayward, but the Broncos have pretty good corners as well. So some things that the Chiefs are going to have to fight through a little bit in their own division as they don't have that clear number one that was dominant the way that Hill was here for many seasons with Mahomes. And then the Vikings, a little bit downgrade. This might more affect Adam Thielen. You're still pretty high on Justin Jefferson no matter what, but if you're looking at Adam Thielen as someone you can look at to expand a little bit, there could be a little fade there anyway with his age and wear and tear. KJ Osborne, you may be worried of that pick as well. So, and something just to keep it back in your mind that the Vikings have kind of a tricky corner matchup, and part of that starts with the Bears and having Jalen Johnson, and the Packers have their share of corners, including Jaire Alexander, and the Lions should also be better with Jeff Okuda back in the mix. So some things to keep in mind again. With the Vikings, again, we're not weighing everything on the schedule, but just want to keep things in the back of our mind when we're making those tough decisions between player A, player B at any point in the draft. At tight end, to start at the top, Travis Kelce, this is the one reprieve the Chiefs have, and they should lean on Kelce a lot more with the wide receiver situation flux, so that's something to keep in mind. So Travis Kelce looking pretty good here. You have Dalton Schultz as well as someone that will benefit. We talk about all Cowboys all the time. So Prescott, We talk about CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup. Dalton Schultz also benefits from a very good tight end schedule. So the Cowboys are in business here, put up a lot of good offensive numbers in 2022, and it's going to help their win total as well. I also like Hunter Henry's schedule. The Patriots have it a little bit tough at wide receiver. That's going to, say, pivot to taking advantage of the matchups at tight end. Hunter Henry had a nice year scoring and has a good chemistry here with Mac Jones. That will continue into year two. So love that bump up. Pat Freiermuth also in a good position. So the Steelers wide receiver should be occupied with tougher matchups, but Freiermuth's facing some pretty good linebacker safety combinations here to go after it and produce. And then you have Austin Hooper on the sleeper side. They need to throw to a tight end in Tennessee. They've been looking for someone pretty solid. Anthony Firkser wasn't the guy to get the job done. Jonas Smith, they miss him. Put up some numbers here. So Austin Hooper having some appeal at tight end here. Playing off Ryan Tannehill, probably will need to rely on more veterans here as they lose A.J. Brown in a trade during the draft. Finally, the tight end trickier schedule. Start with Mark Andrews. Yeah, the passing game is not great for the Ravens overall. So Mark Andrews really faces some pretty good coverage there against his position. He's also coming off a career year. So there's going to be some cool down in the numbers. This could just mean that Travis Kelce gets company from someone else near the top, maybe George Kittle there as the tight end two on the board overall. Darren Waller also steps into a tough situation with some pretty good coverage starting in, again, the AFC West. A lot of improved defenses and players there on the second level and in the middle of the secondary. And also now the targets are going to come down with Hunter Renfrow being a very big part of it. Of course, Devontae Adams being the old school throwback go-to guy for Derek Carr. Dallas Goedert and the Eagles. Again, the Eagles stepped in a little bit of a tough spot here with what they face in run defense and tight end coverage. They're a bit correlated. We talked about a lot to where there's things in the front seven that affect both of those things here. So the Eagles not drawing the best situation. Part of it, again, playing the Cowboys and Giants and Commanders that come into play with those positions as well. Robert Tonyan, again, I want to think he'll have a bigger role here, but he was a touchdown-dependent score just a couple years ago. So we'll see if Tonyan can be used a little bit more in the rest of the field, but a little bit question mark there. And finally, Noah Fant, making transition already difficult. He does get his quarterback from Denver, follow him in Drew Locke in that trade, but the Seahawks overall, better for the wide receivers, not as good as tight end. We'll have to see tight end establish itself more in Shane Waldron's offense, where it wasn't as big of a deal last year with Wilson. So Fant, some obstacles to overcome to put up some numbers here in 2022. All right, there you have it. There's a breakdown now of the most favorable and least favorable schedules for the four fantasy football skill positions, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day, all throughout the week, all 5 days a week. We're free and available for you on all platforms. Now make your second listen Locked On NFL. The schedule is here, and the NFL, we know, never stops because of that. There's a reaction all across the shows here on the Locked On Network, and Locked On NFL is your hub for that. Get insights and opinions from hosts including Ross Jackson, Chris Carter, and Tony Wiggins, plus local Locked On NFL hosts repping all 32 teams and their reactions to the schedule, just like we reacted here in fantasy football. There's no offseason for real fans, whether it's reality or fantasy, here for the NFL. So make sure to subscribe to Locked On NFL on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Again, check us out as well. We're on YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts as well. We're Locked On Fantasy Football. This has been Vinny Iyer. Have a great weekend, and check you out on Monday as we continue our look at our wide receiver rankings and who are the players that are most overrated there in 2022 after the NFL draft.